Hey guys, welcome. Jim Manning here with the Passive Wealth Show. What this show is designed to do is to help people build passive wealth investing in real estate so that one day they can replace their income. Our team here has generated 100% passive income on over $250 million invested with us over the last 15 years. So I'm here to share some of the lessons that I've learned along the way to pay it forward for all the help that I've received over the years. So onward and upward, my friends. Here's to true passive wealth. Let's get going on the show.
Being in Ohio, it was less appreciation, but more cash flow. Some of my mortgages are just a couple hundred bucks, but it rents out for $1,300 and so forth. Save the most so that you're not paying a premium. For real estate, for example, you want to be at 760 to 780 range or above to be able to get the best rates. Anywhere from 10 to 50 credit cards approved. Getting a 90% approval odds within the 30 to 90 days.
Hey there, guys. Jim Manning here with another episode of the Passive Wealth Show. And I am excited to have Brandon Elliott on the line here. So Brandon's with Credit Council Elite. The guy is a wealth of knowledge. And I actually was on his podcast not too long ago. And we got to thinking about it. I'm like, holy cow, like I need to have you on mine. And so we can talk about all the different things that you can do with credit when it comes to investing in real estate. So Brandon, thanks for coming on, man. And can you give us a little bit more of a background on you and your story?
Yeah, Jim, what's going on, man? It's good to see you again. I appreciate you having me on. So for the listeners, if this is your first time hearing about me or seeing me, I come from New Jersey originally, single parent mother, really raised three misfits. And over the years, I moved out to San Diego, California. That's where I live now. I'm in Old Town. My background is basically, I love the BRRRR strategy. We have 25 units at this point. We do some fix and flips, but we have $10 million in real estate assets. I don't have any money into any of those. We collect about $48,000 a month off of quote unquote passive income. There's nothing passive about it, but but we do have, we do like to diversify. We are into some syndication and do some private money lending as well. That those are definitely a lot more hands off. And
yeah, I love how I have other episodes, guys, about, hey, there is passive income. There's ways to invest passively, but you know, being an active investor like that is, it's
different.
Passive income is an absolute lie when you do it that way.
That's right. That is 100%
business. Right. And, well, congrats on all this, on the success on the real estate investing front.
Sure. Thank
and
you.
Is that where you started out before you really started diving into some of the credit?
Yeah. So I was actually doing door-to-door sales, selling Kirby vacuum cleaners. They were $3,500 back then. I don't know what they are now, but this was in 2011. And I door knocked. I was pretty good at it. And I door knocked on somebody's house that they recruited me into a real estate investment company. And so I got so inspired from that. And I got a little bit of education. We were focusing on NODs at the time, notice of defaults. Mm-hmm. And it was like a lot of pre-foreclosures back then, right? After 2008.
Yep.
So during that whole time, I just got so inspired by how many people we were helping out, the money that was coming in, and just the systems in place. It was my first time ever seeing that. And so afterwards, I ended up just going down this rabbit hole of all the books, podcasts just like this to get the knowledge, and going to RIA groups, YouTube. And it took me 4 hours every single day for 2 years while I was working in the restaurant industry to try to figure this out. And eventually I did. I started investing in Ohio. And now we're in four different states. We're in New Jersey, Ohio, Arizona, and California. But
and who's who's the team?
Oh, it's me and then my wife.
Oh, okay.
Jennifer. Great. Yeah. Well, yeah, so we work together, and she's really the brains and the beauty, but they didn't know where else to put me, so they put me here.
Oh, that's hilarious. So, and then what's the deal flow that you guys are doing right now on the investing front?
Yeah, so on active real estate new deals, we take down about two per year, so nothing crazy on that side. We really like to cherry pick, so we just picked one up the other day that we picked it up for $1.2 million. We're going to put $200,000 into it, into a duplex, and then it's going to be worth about $1.9 million possibly a little over. So we really like to go for like home runs that we're making $500,000 or more. And we like to use credit. We also have a couple different properties we're building ADUs on out here, accessory dwelling units, where it costs $300 a square foot to build, but it's worth about $1,000 a square foot afterwards. So we have about seven units that we should be getting a green light for the permits here very soon.
Oh, that's great. So then your main business is really more on the credit side of things then. So walk me through how starting out of, you know, you kind of were doing the investing and how that morphed into Credit Council Elite.
Yeah, so I actively started getting real estate myself in 2015. And after 2 years of doing it, 2017, we had like 10, maybe 12 doors at that time. Being in Ohio, it was less appreciation, but more cash flow. You know, some of my mortgages are just a couple $100, but it rents out for $1,300 and so forth. And so really great cash flow, not betting on appreciation over there ever, but, you know, get the tax benefits and so forth and the money right now, cash flow wise. So I started seeing so many people asking me questions about it and realizing like, hey, I want to do real estate too. But they couldn't figure out how to, like, they always thought that they needed a ton of money to get started. And so they were, everybody's response that came back to me said like, well, I want to do real estate too, but I'm going to do it once I make this successful, once I get money over here. And I was looking at their situations like, what if that never happens? What if like it takes 5-10 years and you don't get enough money and then you don't have the inspiration anymore to jump into real estate? Like I didn't have any money getting started. I was working two restaurant jobs. Mm-hmm. I was in 10 grand worth of debt originally. I saved up $35,000 or $30,000 and I used credit cards to be able to purchase properties, complete the renovations on the property so I didn't get screwed over by contractors, get enough points to go on a free vacation afterwards. That's what I fell in love with. And I utilize credit at 0% interest to be able to do it.
You know, so what's interesting is I've told my story a lot on different podcasts and I skipped this part on my journey. I forgot about it. Now, granted, I've been doing this for
a couple years,
a decade and a half now. Yeah. You're like a dinosaur. Goodness. Yeah. I'm too young to feel like that. I just turned 40. So when I was 22 and I graduated college, I was fortunate that I started with zero. I didn't have any debt, but I also didn't have any money. And I was able to create a nest egg through my first job of and investing into Apple stock before that first iPhone came out. I was able to build up a nest egg of $10,000. But I mean, 10,000 or zero or negative 10,000, like, it's not a whole lot on its own to like really start investing into real estate. And
it doesn't go far.
What we were able to do is get a private lender to pay for the purchase. But we had to pay for the repair costs.
Sure.
And then what I did was I put my nest egg into it. And when it went over, I did 0% interest credit cards too, to, you know, to get through the first few. So, we have that in common. And, you know, if you're an active investor, you know, like in our situation, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be careful about, right? But you know, sometimes you just have to go for it too. That's what we both did. So
yeah,
so
I think
walk me through more into, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I would say it's just financial literacy. You know, you should be careful with credit cards, just like you should be careful with raising private money from other individuals. That's their hard earned money and they work their butt off to get it. You need to make sure that you're getting grandma's money back or your friend, your family members, like other people. I was just so ignorant that I had no idea that private money lending was even an option. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that anybody would even, you know, think to lend me money, and they probably wouldn't have back then. You know, it's just like growing up American poor, very blessed, but still grew up on Section 8, food stamps, mm-hmm. Help from local churches and our schools. You know, we lived off Social Security. So about $1,000 a month. That didn't go far. I didn't know anybody in my circle that had funds to be able to even pay into that. So it was definitely one of those situations that it was like, if it was meant to be, it was up to me. I had to figure out a way. So I figured out from credit cards.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, what's funny is I don't think, I don't know if either one of us would have lent ourselves money like now, you know, like at our age, like
I was young, didn't know anything. I was, you know, I was putting in the work for, you know, 4 hours every day for 2 years, but I was still, I made all the rookie mistakes that I just read about. And I made exceptions for everyone. And then I was like, oh, that's why you don't make exceptions. That's why those are the rules. Like, don't break those.
That's right. So, all right. So then that kind of, so then you were using the credit card to help you with the purchase pricing, or I guess to fund the whole thing.
Yeah. We were buying properties with credit cards and then completing the renovation.
Yeah. And then were these lower price point homes, like 100,000 and less, or like,
correct. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely 100,000 or less over in Ohio. I was very blessed at a young age. And this is where I think it just kind of clicked for me of realizing, hey, credit cards are going to be my option, for the simple fact that I had credit cards that were $75,000, $80,000 on, you know, just certain cards that had those limits at a young age. And so I kept on requesting every 6 months for credit limit increases. And I knew how to spend heavy on it and pay it off. And so I wasn't in any crazy amounts of debt or anything. I was just using it responsibly, and I got big limits because of that. And so it just came natural of like, okay, well, the banks on these credit cards will give me high limits. How can I get the banks to actually turn it into cash and put it into my checking account, or allow me to use it at 0% interest, because I was very cheap back then. And I had a poorer mindset. So I was like, I'm not paying any interest. That would be crazy. I need to get 0% interest and then utilize the real estate strategy. And I did the BRRRR strategy on everything. So I would pay it after I renovated, I would pay it off in 6 to 12 months before the interest would start kicking in. And then I would just repeat that process. Over the years, I was able to get so much interest in utilizing credit to do exactly the same thing. People loved my story behind it. So I started teaching others exactly what I started learning about credit and how to utilize it, because I made all the mistakes. I had high balances on my personal credit cards versus on the business side. And when you go to refinance, you know, even if it's free and clear, they're still looking at your personal credit. And when they saw high balances, even though I was going to use that cash out refinance to pay it off, that was a no-go. So there's a lot of learning curves that I started learning behind it.
So then so that's like somebody more just starting out, like where we were at. Now, how about for someone that's more, a little bit more seasoned, maybe they've been doing investment deals, or maybe they've been in corporate America or a small business owner for a while, have good credit, they do have some finances available as well. Like, what are some of the business advantages
the benefits?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the benefits that any American should think about is basically to save the most, so that you're not paying a premium. You know, for real estate, for example, you want to be at 760 to 780 range or above on your personal FICO to be able to get the best rates. So if any lower than that, even 740, you are paying just a little bit more on interest rates. And you may not see it, you may not notice it, but it does add up, especially if it's a 30-year fix. That's a lot of money that adds up. And so, long story short, you're getting the best terms, best conditions, best rates, and the most amount of funding, the highest limits, with confidence, with boldness. And so the best practice behind this is, if you, for an example, if you have opportunities that are kind of passing you by and you just need some capital to be able to get into them, and they're short-term type of opportunities, or you need more capital to grow and scale your business, credit can be an incredible resource to be able to do that, you know, such thing. Mm-hmm. So because you're getting 0% interest anywhere from 6 months to 24 months on average, it's 18 months. And the good news is, for 18 months, that's a good amount of time that you can put your money to work. I like to do short-term investments where it's 2 to 3 months max, sometimes six. And that gives me plenty of time to be able to move it around and put it to work stronger. Also, every 6 months, you can actually do the same process again that we teach in Credit Counts Elite by getting anywhere from 10 to 50 credit cards approved, getting a 90% approval odds within the 30 to 90 days.
And that doesn't mess your credit up. I hear that and I think, oh, my credit's gonna nosedive by
Yeah,
getting
yeah.
50 credit cards.
Yep. Yeah, so you want to keep it more on the business side, and also all those hard inquiries, they make up anywhere from 1 to 3, sometimes 5 points on your FICO. Your score will drop about 20 points. You can remove all those hard inquiries and it will go right back to where it was. Your age, however, that is one of the 6 boxes that make up your FICO score. That one makes up 15% of it. Your age, if you do have any personal cards, those will bring down your age a little bit. And over time, you can get authorized users to be able to boost back up your age. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
I
Okay. No, I appreciate
don't.
the
Yeah,
bluntness behind it. It can be
yeah.
confusing. Authorized users can be, say you have a card that's 30 years old. If you added me as an authorized user and you add my full name, my date of birth and my social, then your good credit history on that one card is going to report underneath my credit report in the next 30 days or less when the statement closing date comes around, which is every 30 days. And so that high age and the no late payments, good history and so forth, that's going to help average out my information and start boosting up my score. I don't need to get access to the card. You can put your address, your phone number attached to it. I don't have any of your information. So therefore, you're going to receive a new card in the mail with my name on it. You'll just call it, activate it, cut it up, and throw it away. But your good history is going to actually show up underneath my credit report soon. Does that make sense? Because there's 6 boxes that make up your credit report. 3 are for fix, the other 3 are for build. And so those 3 for
So
build are authorized
do you
users.
do that with like your wife then? Like, are you guys authorized users and you build each other's credit?
You would typically want somebody that's older that has very old age credit cards. But yes, you can do it with your wife. You can do it with friends, family,
Then
parents, grandparents.
are they at risk if for some reason I do something stupid? Is the authorized user at risk?
Yes. Yep. So the buyer, because it is a business, you can look it up online, buying and selling trade lines. So as a buyer, the person that's going to be added as an authorized user, it's they are definitely in a at the mercy of you, the seller. They can't do anything to hurt your credit profile or anything like that. But you, if you miss a payment or have a high balance on your card or anything that's negative, it will show up in the next 30 days or less to the buyers. However, the buyer can just remove it off their credit report because it's not, they don't actually have the card. They can just remove the authorized user at any time if that ever did happen.
Interesting. And then that can bump it quite a bit if they're older and have
Well, yeah,
immaculate
so
credit.
yeah, authorized users affect the 3 boxes for build, which make up 55% of your FICO. Average age is 15%. You want to be at 9 years plus average credit age. It's kind of hard to do that. Like you can't go back in time, so you're forced to get authorized users. Total accounts, that makes up 10% of your FICO. They want to see you at 21 plus total accounts and mixed use. It's not those that old school myth that we all grew up with, saying, only have one or two credit cards, maybe a third one for emergencies. They want to see 21 plus different cards, different accounts,
Oh,
and mixed
crazy.
use. And then
So,
utilization, they want that makes up 30% of your FICO. Ideally, you want to be at 9% or below, but really, there's a secret sauce I'll share with the listeners. You want to be at 1 to 3% on your utilization across the board.
gotcha. So you said 1 to 3% utilization on each credit card
Yeah,
of what the limit is.
either across the board or individually, you can be at 9% and below. And you can be at 0%, that's fine. But if you never use the cards, if you we all have a couple cards that we never use. If you don't use them, they're not going to give you credit limit increases. They're not going to, they're going to label you almost more as a risk because you have all this credit and you're not using it. The banks are very greedy. They want to see you fall. They want to see you fail. They want to set you up for giving you more funding so that you'll make mistakes because they're not teaching it in school. So that's why there's so much credit card debt right now and auto loan debt and everything else because people don't know how to financially be responsible. And so they get to write it off on taxes if you don't pay it, which they need, but they also get to charge crazy interest, which they get to take advantage of for a very long time. A majority of people, as they're failing, they'll drag it out. They'll drag their feet for a year, 2, 3 years while they're just getting dragged in the mud, but at 20, 30, 40% interest rates. It's crazy. And then eventually, once the bank gets everything and then the person just has enough, they get to write it off on their taxes, the banks.
Gotcha. Okay, so then for someone kind of more in like my situation, or like what would Credit Counsel Elite have to offer on I'm 40 years old, things are going pretty good. Like why sell me on Credit Counsel Elite, like why Jim Manning should enter into the program. Man, this is a pressure situation I'm putting you under right now.
No, I love it. I
On the
love a good
spot.
challenge.
We didn't plan this. Sell me on this, man. What a
So there's plenty of benefits, first off, but before I even dive into that, just being very transparent and like very blunt. I'm coming from New Jersey originally, so it's just in my nature. It's almost impossible to sell anybody on the idea of you need something that could really bless you in so many ways if you think that you got it all figured out. And so it's tough when you're doing well and you worked your ass off to get to where you're at. And like, so it's really difficult to explain to people, like, but the best way that I can do it is just traveling alone. Traveling alone, if you travel, like, how much do you spend yearly on travel?
Oh, I don't know, maybe five flights a year or something like that. So I'm not like a crazy traveler, but
How much
what is
do you
that?
think you spent last year on traveling? Like 5 grand,
Two,
2 grand,
$3,000, something
three
like
grand.
that.
Okay.
My kids are small, so I'm not traveling maybe as much as I would otherwise. But
Okay.
yeah, maybe
And
I'll say
then
$3,000.
do you fly economy or first class?
Economy.
Okay. So I've been flying first class for like 6, 7 years now. And I do it all free. And so if you can just get all the perks and benefits by still with your natural lifestyle, how you naturally spend money, right? You can use the right credit cards to get a boatload of points. And then when you learn how to travel hack, which we teach in Credit Counsel Elite, you can transfer those points to get free flights. So we get 90% off on hotels, Marriott's and so forth, as well as free flights and car rentals, you know, basically paid for. We use the right credit cards so that we aren't paying the car rental insurance. It comes included. Same thing with cell phone insurance, purchase protection with certain items. You know, using the right credit cards alone and travel hacking, you can really like. We did a first class trip, Emirates, last year to Europe, and we have. I just booked one to Dubai and Ireland, in September, but it's first class. I mean, there's a shower, there's caviar, there's, you know, Don P and. There's a bar on board. It's just like a nicer lay down experience that you're not groggy. You're like, it feels good just getting all that hookup and it's all free. So the most Europe for a whole month last year, I spent a couple grand and it was all on food. It was very little, you know, all the hotels were taken care of. We stayed in a $3,800 penthouse suite at a Marriott that ended up being $92 it cost me. You know, it's like that type of fun, that lifestyle, it makes it that much better, is I would say just on that. However, when it comes down to credit, everybody needs a little bit of fixing on their credit, and most people just don't even realize it. Even if you're in the 800 club, trust me, there's something on there, old, outdated personal info, like addresses, employer info, all that can get deleted. Afterwards, you know, making sure that you're not having a ton of hard inquiries, making sure if you are in the 800 club, you're utilizing your credit properly. You don't need to be in the 850 FICO score. You can be good at 760, 780 range and above. You're getting all the best rates. So you might as well, if you're in the higher 800s, utilize your credit, leverage it. You can get 0% interest. You can also get sign up bonuses. We have bank relationships like Yosef. He's a member within Credit Counsel Elite. He went to Chase, one of our business bank relationship managers. He got 13 new credit cards. He also got $1,200 free cash from sign-up bonuses from each one of those cards. So it ended up being almost $16,000 in free cash just from getting these cards approved. So it's like, who doesn't like to save money, make money, and then get all the perks and benefits? And then when opportunities are passing you by, you don't need to second guess on it. You don't need to have money kind of controlling you because you only have certain amount over here or in your portfolio to diversify and invest. We use OPM, other people's money, but it's the bank's money. And we do it at 0% interest. See, I look at credit as like it's a game and we're flipping the script on the banks. Right now, we give all of our money to the banks and they pay us next to nothing percent back, right? But then they lend it back out to us 9 times over and they make anywhere from 500% to 3,000%. That's anywhere like they're lending out to personal loans, auto loans, mortgages, credit cards. They make a lot of money on us. And so now we get the opportunity to flip the script on the banks by doing exactly what the rich do, exactly what the banks do. They already have the script. They already have the SOPs in place. Now we get the bank's money, 0% interest for typically 18 months, but up to 24 months, and then we put it to work. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
And so the rich have been doing it forever. They know how to leverage. They're not selling, like Google, for example. They have all the money in the world to be able to buy things right out, but they still take out loans. They get the best rates on loans, 1 to 2%, and they use it as tax benefits. They end up leveraging it. You know, it's better to keep money in the bank so that the banks want to give more to you. So it ends up being very lucrative in the end if you understand exactly how finances work and how to be able to put all the credit that you have access to into different opportunities to grow and scale your businesses.
Oh man, every time you talk, I just start thinking. I mean, there's a lot here. I mean, they,
There is.
and you're seeing it 20 to 50 cards. So, it's like, okay, great. Well, I can get 20 cards in year one. And then for 18 months, I'm good. But then,
Every 6 months,
you
you can
know,
do it again. Every six
okay.
months. So realistically, anywhere from 10 to 50 cards is what people are applying for. We call it a mass apply. A mass apply is just an application sequence. When done correctly, you'll get a 90% approval odds. So there's literally like 45 different metrics on how and why the banks are judging you in certain ways. So once you understand that, it makes it a hell of a lot more clear for you to be like, oh, okay, perfect. Well, I need to consider this before I put. So you just start putting your cards in the right order, your applications. That's how you get, because there's bank rules. Like Chase, for example, they have the 5 and 24 rule. They also have a 2 and 30 day rule. So you can't get more than two cards within 30 days from them, regardless. However, we have bank relationship managers that break, like they can break all the rules. Legally, ethically, morally, they're just, it's a higher caliber that they work directly with underwriting. And so they can get our members up to 150,000 very confidently and boldly. I
Yeah,
know
I
it's a
mean, you
lot.
know, well, yeah, and you know, it's I think the natural thing, and I know you've gotten this before, you probably even know what's coming here, is like some of it just, I mean, I guess I'm struggling with, is this feel too good to be true or not? Because
Sure, of course.
the too good to be true is implying that there's not risk, but I mean, you're taking credit card and you're taking on debt, so it's not like there's
Yeah.
not
Oh, by all means,
it's not.
there.
You
Yeah,
know what I
it's.
mean? Like it's not like you aren't liable for it or anything. So I don't know if that really applies.
It does. You
But
are liable.
it's really just turning it into a little bit of a game. And how much extra work does this take? I mean, that's the other thing. Like, do I really have time
Yeah.
for this?
Yeah. And so. It's really hard for anybody to wrap their head around this at first because we weren't like, we were almost brainwashed how we think about credit cards, how we think about credit in general, and how we think about financing. They're not teaching it in school. And a lot of our families, God bless our parents, but they didn't know either. It wasn't taught to them. So they did the best that they could. And one reason or another, we picked up their beliefs around money, around finances. And statistics show, 70% of marriages fail because of money problems, of people fighting over money. And so there's a lack in financial literacy out there. People that, just like anything, if it's important enough to you, for your family, for your future, for your finances, it's something that should be prioritized. You can't outsource your push-ups, I always say. And so nobody can force you to go to the gym, put in the reps, but I encourage you to do it because it's going to set you up for a longer prosperity life. You're going to feel better when you're in your 80s. If you make it to your 80s, if you aren't actually working out. So you want to keep, your body in shape, right? Same thing with your finances. If you want your finances to actually, money doesn't solve problems, but it does make it, I've been on both sides, and it does make life a little bit better. I would definitely say that. You can still be depressed. You can still be having a bad day, but it feels really good being able to bless other people and be able to make the impact. And money can solve, a lot of things. What I would say is that the too good to be true, it's just a mindset thing of trying to realize and wrap your head around it. It's very difficult for anybody, rightfully so, to wrap their head around it at first. When it comes down to the process and the methods, it feels a hell of a lot better personally borrowing money from credit cards than it would be from like grandma or friends, family. It feels good helping out other people and getting them a strong return. But what if the deal goes bad? What if you're liable for it? What if there's a lot of issues? What if they, they're on suicide watch? Like what if all those factors come into play versus having your own credit? It's just you and it's just your credit that's getting messed up. Now, if you do it properly, you'll know how to clean credit. You'll know how to actually position yourself to put it on the business side so that you're not taking all the personally guaranteed. Does that make sense? There's ways that you can position yourself. It's just financial literacy over time.
So are each of these car, I guess it just depends on who you are, whether it's a $100,000 limit or a $5,000 limit. I mean, have you seen anyone get like 20 cards at like 100K a pop?
No. Yeah. So it comes down, there's many different like forms, I guess, as far as the relationship. So a bank relationship is very important. And so the longer you've been with the bank, the more products and services you're taking advantage of from a bank, as well as the overall internal rating that they're not going to teach you about, but they have an internal rating on you, how much money is in the account, what's going in, what's going out over the last 30, 60, 90 days, or even 6 months. All of that has a big impact on how much funding they're going to give you, as well as all the other 40 plus metrics, right? So with these banks, what we're typically seeing is anywhere from about 25,000 to about 50,000 on each card. But of course, there's going to be other cards that are going to be more lower tier credit cards that they won't go over 10,000, So a $5,000, $10,000 card can be common as well. And that's why when you add it up, you're getting anywhere from 10 to 50 plus new credit lines. And it adds up to 2, 3, 4, 5, or even 600,000 plus.
But you're only supposed to use 10% of it.
No. Right? So if it's hidden on the, if it's a business credit card and it's hidden over there, that's not going to be an issue. If it's a personal card and it's showing underneath your personal credit profile, then every statement closing date, when it reports, you're going to want it to be at 9% or below. If you are leveraging it, you're still in the green at 29% and below, but there's a season for doing what we call a mass apply, applying over 30 days for new credit. That's where you want your utilization to be 1-3%. And then there's a season after you get all that new funding in 30 days, then you're going to just season it. You're going to be a good steward of it so that you can do it again in 6 months. So during that season period for the next 5 months or so, 6 months, that's when you can actually have it, 29% and below. It's not going to mess up your score. You're going to be in a good position if it's on the personal side. If it's on the business, you can go much higher.
Interesting. Oh, man. Head is spinning. If anyone else is head spinning, but they're curious, how do they connect with you, Brandon?
That's the best way. Trust me. Trust me, I like stumbled into this and I started going down a rabbit hole because I was so fascinated by it. And so today I'm just the living proof of it that we have 10 million in real estate assets. We collect 48,000 a month and I don't have any money into my deals. And I've been able to grow, diversify into many different opportunities because of credit. So real estate changed my life. Credit was the catalyst to do it. If people want to get a hold of me, they could always do so. On Instagram, they can go to Credit Council Elite, our new page on there. Otherwise, they can check me out on Instagram at Brandon Elliott Investments. If they want to learn more information about what the heck I'm talking about here with Credit Council Elite and how we're getting, people nationwide several hundred thousand in new funding, they can check out creditcouncilelite.com. That's www.creditcouncilelite.com. There's a quick 10, 12-minute video on there that explains more in detail. To help answer a lot of questions that you may have. After that, you're probably going to have a lot more intelligent questions to ask on a one-on-one call. Afterwards, you can just book a call with us to tell us where you're currently at, what your goals are, and what it looks like to potentially work with us or, to get you to that goal. Otherwise, we'll give you just a free gift of 10 banks that we use frequently to get 50,000 in new funding.
Oh, that's great. All right, man. Well, right on. Thanks for hopping on. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, Jim, I appreciate it, man. You guys have a blessed day and thanks so much. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's it for the Passive Wealth Show. Stay tuned for the next episode, and we talk all things building passive wealth. And I appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
See you guys.
All right, guys, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a website, passivewealthshow.com, where you can get more great content and resources. We offer a passive profit strategy session, and you can find that on our website as well, where we'll basically ask you a bunch of discovery questions and help you figure out if investing passively is a good thing for you or not. So go to our website, passivewealthshow.com, and we'll go from there.